This morning's reading comes from 1 Kings 18, 20 through 39. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets number 450. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is indeed God." All the people answered, "Well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. Then call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it." So they took the bull that was given them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, crying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice and no answer. They limped about the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, surely he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." Then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice, no answer, and no response. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First, he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. Next, he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. He said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again, he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mallory. We were trying to figure a way to abbreviate that passage, and you got to have the whole story. So thank you for that extended reading. The word oxymoron refers neither to an ox nor to a person of low intelligence. I dare say you also probably did not sing that word in the shower this morning. You know that place where the voice sounds so resonant and full and all the vocal blemishes are gone and you could just be on the stage in the New York Metropolitan Opera, that place. You probably did not sing that word in the shower this morning. And I would bet that you have not used that word this past week unless someone saw the sign out front and asked you what in the world the preachers are up to now. Oxymoron is a figure of speech in which opposites, contradictory ideas, or terms are held together. Things like thunderous silence, oxymoron, sweet sorrow, the sound of silence. Even United Methodist. I'm glad you caught that. You're supposed to laugh on that one. So God the Oxymoron is the title of this four-part series that Adam and I are entering into today. And we're going to focus on the attributes of God. Attributes like God's transcendence, above, high, beyond, lifted up, powerful. And the attribute of God's immanence, close at hand, personal, intimate, subject to weakness. God is sovereign, the first, without equal power of the first magnitude, reigning over all. Yet God also shows up in flawed, brittle people like Elijah, like us. God, the oxymoron, is all of that, all the time, all at the same time. What would it be like to have the power of God? To realize that you could effect change. It's been a while, but some of you may have seen the movie Bruce Almighty. Anybody seen that? I bet you haven't seen it as recently as I have. Which is very recently. It's a comedy, of course, and it's okay to laugh in church. So I'd like to see how Bruce uses that power. So let's do some lights and some action over here. And I don't know, choir, if y'all can see that or not, but... It's not doing. Well, as you can see, the parting of the Red Sea got reduced to the parting of the tomato soup. So choose this hour whom you will serve, God the sovereign over all, or God the sovereign over tomato soup. Bruce Almighty, tongue in cheek for sure. Elijah laid a choice before the people of Israel on Mount Carmel, before the prophets of Baal. We usually say Baal, but it's really Baal. How long, Elijah said, how long will you sit on the fence with two loyalties? And that question is as current today as it was on Mount Carmel. The Baals are still around. Maybe our homes or the appointments in our homes. Maybe it's our cars or our clothes or our guns. For some persons, their job is their Baal, their lesser god. And for some, it's even keeping the church just as it is. Surely I didn't say that. Lesser laughter there. Many folks would certainly never admit to serving a God other than the God of Elijah. Our God is sovereign, high above all else, but God also comes very close in the prophet Elijah to urge the Israelites on Mount Carmel and the Methodist and the others on Walnut Hill Lane to embrace God. Know this, when we sit on the fence, saying one thing, doing another, when we sit on the fence, not making a decision, we have made a decision. We have made a choice. When we allow ourselves to stay stuck in the mud of indecision about serving God, and when we allow ourselves to stay stuck in the quicksand of piety and service that is not muscular, then we are facing away from the God of Elijah. Sitting on the fence about God or about the church or even about our own spiritual lives is a choice. It is a choice for Baal. Whatever our situation is today, the good news is that God wants us to choose our loyalty to God and not to the Baal. God gives us, and God gives us the faith to make that choice. That's most important. God gives us the faith we need to make that choice. Exercising our faith to choose God is a matter of joining with God to do the good God intends. Maybe we'll see now how all of this plays out for Bruce Almighty. You remember what I said a few Sundays ago, that when you trust your soul to audiovisual equipment, you'll go to hell every time? This is the case today. I don't know what's about to happen, but it didn't happen, so let me just continue on. God is talking with Bruce Almighty, and he says to him, you know, parting the tomato soup is not a miracle, it's a trick. And then he goes on to say that a single mom who works two jobs and still has time to get to soccer practice, that's a miracle. He says then, a teenager who says no to drugs and yes to education, that is a miracle. You see, to get off the fence and to choose God is to be the miracle we want. That is God's word to Bruce Almighty. to get off the fence and to choose the God we want to be loyal to. That is the miracle of faith, and to be in our own lives in person. The miracle we want, that is to use the power God gives. So the question is, in God's greatness and transcendence, who comes to us in the imminent Elijah, laying before us the choice, the question for us this morning, are we still on the fence? Does the transcendent God have authority over our lives, or is it something else which has charge over our lives? Lean into the God of Elijah. That is the right choice, and that is the way of life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for this ancient story that reminds us that indeed you are our sovereign, who brings your message of life so very, very close to us. Help us to make the right choice, using the grace, the faith that you provide. Amen.